Hey, how's it going, everyone? I am Dustin Bass, and over there is Alan Gorgeous Lips Joaquim. What's up, dude?
You noticed.
How could I not?
Got my chapstick here, right here. So, yeah, I think I'm just not drinking enough water. So, I'm, lips got really, really chapped last night, this morning. So, hey, what can I say? I mean, they are hurting. I haven't, they haven't hurt this bad since my college days, but, you know, that's another story.
Yeah, that's a time when you're probably not drinking any water, but you're drinking a lot of liquids.
I'm trying, so.
Yeah.
No, I don't have COVID or anything, but.
So why are you getting dehydrated? Are you in a place where dehydration is common?
Kind of a long story. I am, but. That'll be something that I'll introduce later on, not at this moment. So
okay, I hate you right now, and I just want you to know that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't yet, do us a favor and subscribe wherever you're listening. You can click on YouTube and subscribe, hit the bell, so you'll always get an update of when we're putting stuff up. Also, wherever you're listening on the podcast, whether it's Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, whatever, if you can do us a favor, and if you're able to, subscribe, and then also leave us a rating and a review. That would be very helpful. Also, tell your friends, family, loved ones. Go to the local cemetery and tell your long-last loved ones how much you're enjoying the Sons of History podcast. Well, today we are doing something a little bit different. We are recording in the morning. Thank you very much, Alan. And top of the morning to you. I'm having a good cup of coffee.
I am drinking water. And you know why I'm drinking water?
I think I know. Yeah, exactly, Ben Stiller.
Hey, listen, you know, with the area where I'm right now, I found one place where the coffee was really good. So I am going to go back later today and go get some. But yeah, the coffee around here is really not that good.
What's funny, I say Ben Stiller. You've seen Along Came Polly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite scene was when he went to that Indian restaurant.
Yes. Oh, man, I love that scene. And he just go to the restroom, and the guy's like, yeah, I'm not coming out of here for a while.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I've been in that same situation.
He goes, yeah, I'm going to be here all day.
It's, you know, dude, that's a great line.
I'll tell you, when I was in London, there's a 1987, I was in London, and I was with my brother and some of his friends, and we went to this Indian restaurant. And my God, I don't know what the hell kind of spices they put in there. But yeah, I mean, this one of the guys, he was sweating. I mean, he was sweating. And the guy was from Africa and he was sweating. So if he's sweating, then you know how bad that was. God, I couldn't taste anything for days.
Yeah, that's too much, man. That is way too much. But what's funny is a clip. You know how like they did these suggested clips on YouTube, which is actually the topic we're going to be talking about. They did the clip where they're playing basketball and the guy like takes his shirt off.
Oh yeah, you remember those days, skins versus shirts?
Oh man, so good. What's funny is I hadn't thought about it in a while, at least when we've been recording on the show. But so I'm having coffee because we're doing this in the morning because circumstances within our control. I'm having coffee and I tell you, hey, I got to go turn off the coffee maker. You remember that first season, which was as long as the Second Continental Congress. You remember that first season where we would record at your house and before we'd get started, you'd be like, hey man, you want some coffee? I'll make some coffee. And I'll be like, yeah, let's have some coffee.
I know where you're getting that. I know exactly what
inevitably.
You're
inevitably
the beep.
Every episode that coffee maker would turn off, beep beep beep, and I would just look at you like, every single time we got to do this, guest no guest, it doesn't matter. And you'd be like, Who knows, man?
Now, that's because I was focused on the show, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, so focused.
And, you know, I'm not an actor. We all know that. And so that was a season where we were dressing up and portraying John Adams
and Tom Jefferson. No. This was the podcast. No, I would not have, like, no, that was, dude, when we were doing that, like, that was hours on end. So I'm sure we had coffee and maybe that did take place, but I'm talking about when we were doing like the podcast early on at your place. It was so funny. Well, ladies and gentlemen, baseball season is here. It's why I'm repping the Astros. We had a couple of, I guess you would say, no shows for this weekend. So Alan and I, we had, as we made mention from episode one, we still had a ton of stuff to talk about from episode one. So we are here to talk about more of that. Obviously, we haven't. there's a super long list, but we're going to take out this one section and sort of.
I'm glad that we're doing this because I'd much prefer having this conversation because there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and you know this conversation needs to be done. For that reason, a couple of days ago we heard about, it was just yesterday, but for when this comes out, it'll be Monday, about Donald Trump being, indicted. And then we're going to talk about, censorship. I have a good friend of mine who lives and dies by social media with her politics, and she was cut off. So I think that this is going to be the perfect time to have this topic.
Yeah, I think so too. And we'll get right into it. I mean, the question is, are we committing national suicide? Like, are we killing ourselves via politics? Like, everything has become political. Every single thing in our life has become political.
Yeah, sports, TV shows, movies.
Sports, TV shows, movies, everything.
Even schools, you know. I used to get along great with everybody in some of my organizations in high school, and now, you know, half of them don't talk to the other half simply because of the politics.
Yeah, and the primary issue I see as well is the working relationship between corporations and the government. And when we talk about monopolies, you can only have really a monopoly if the government assists you. If they assist you, like they've done in so many ways, especially turn of the 20th century, you have a monopoly. When they give you benefits, when they sort of open up the doors for your business in comparison to helping other businesses, when they give you those types of benefits, we see it happen all the time. And those, I mean, shoot. I was just last night. Take, for instance, Moderna, right? Moderna was one of the vaccine producers. Now, it's very interesting that Dr. Fauci was like, oh, Moderna is going to be a big player in vaccines. And Moderna, up to that point, had never even done vaccines before, which is very odd. So obviously, you're having investors put their money in that, who also invested in that company, more or less, was the government, because the government was paying for these vaccine companies to come up with vaccines. Like, they are investing taxpayer dollars into those companies. Now, good, bad, otherwise, however you want to view that, like, you can say, well, Dustin, there was an absolute necessity, so we had to get these things created. So if you have these drug companies already sort of on the front lines of putting these things together, then yeah, it makes sense for the government to say, okay, you guys create it because you're already there. We're not going to try some new company or whatever. We're not going to try just the private space to come up with something and however long that'll take. I get the argument. But now you have Moderna's stock that is falling. And here just this week, federal government saying they're willing to give Moderna $2.5 billion to ensure that they either don't go under or their stocks don't go, like that their stocks don't plummet. That is a way to create a monopoly. That's just one of those examples. That's one of the like really recent examples. So,
and this goes with our conversation that we had 2 weeks ago, where the federal government is doing things that they were never authorized to do. It's not enumerated in the Constitution. And my understanding, and I'm not stating this as fact. I have heard that Dr. Fauci, I'm just going to call him Fauci. He doesn't deserve the title doctor. Fauci he's either invested in Moderna or he's on the board of Moderna. I don't know. Do you know?
Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you. I do know this.
Or he had a patent. He has some sort of a patent maybe with Moderna.
It's very interconnected. I know at least as of like 6 to 8 months ago, I think the FDA board, a majority of the people on the FDA board had direct ties to Pfizer. How do you get a monopoly going except by the conflict of interest where you have direct ties financially? I mean, you're not directly tied because, you know, you take Pfizer medicine. That's not a direct tie. You are directly tied to Pfizer. And therefore, if they have something come up and be like, hey, we need to get this passed or we need to get this accepted or approved, there's the conflict of interest. There's the incentive to approve a medicine, a drug, a vaccine produced by a company that the board is highly connected with. Like, that is a massive conflict of interest that deals with the public health of the nation. And yet we just do this like little wink and a nod, or the federal government gives this wink and a nod, literally the federal government, because it's a federal agency, which we talked about in week one. Now I know I'm addressing a little bit like the medical community, but I know for this topic, we wanted to talk about the suppression of free speech, everything that's going on, which is a tie-in to the federal government working hand-in-hand with corporations, private corporations, specifically big tech organizations. We've seen this, and I wrote an article about this, I want to say 2 years ago for the Epoch Times, talking about how private companies, big tech private companies, it's not the federal government that's playing Big Brother, because 1984, we always think Big Brother is the government. Well, it's the private industry that is playing the role of Big Brother, and they're getting incentivized or directed by the federal government as well. So it's sort of a hand in glove type of situation.
You know, this reminds me a bit on when Dwight Eisenhower left the presidency in 1961. He gave a warning. I'm sure many, many of our listeners are familiar with it, about the military-industrial complex. And, you know, the federal government doesn't build the tanks or the jet aircraft or the guns. They contract with different organizations. So we have had, you know, prior to World War I, we really didn't have too much foreign intervention. Yeah, we had we went to war with Mexico. We also went to war with Spain. But, you know, prior to World War I and so-called Wilsonian democracy, we really didn't get ourselves too much involved in foreign entanglements. At least we didn't try to. Since World War II, I can't even count how many wars that we've actually been in. And I'm not talking about just Korea and Vietnam or the Gulf War, but you know, little engagements. And the, you know, one of the things that Eisenhower was warning about is that if we just keep getting into wars, you know, the men and women who work in our federal government are working hand in hand with many of these companies, contractors. They'll provide us the weapons. The government will provide us the wars. And that is one of the things, you know, in my younger days, I was a solid Republican, you know, Republicans, because of Ronald Reagan, you know, Republicans can't do anything wrong. That, you know, then you get into some real life and you start noticing things. A lot of things that I noticed around 9/11, post 9/11, even before 9/11, there was just some things that just didn't make sense to me. And I couldn't understand, you know, Saddam Hussein. I know, okay, Saddam Hussein's a bad guy, but why are we so hung up on getting rid of him? Why are we going to war against Saddam Hussein? What the hell did he do that was so bad? Again, yeah, he was a bad guy, but who in the Middle East wasn't? So Iran was a bigger pain in the ass to the U.S. than Iraq ever was. So, you know, this whole concept of the federal government working with these companies where we're feeding off of each other. This is not something that I know that our, you know, our founding fathers never intended for this. Even Washington, when he left office, he warned us, don't get involved in foreign entanglements. Don't get involved in foreign alliances. And he recognized that just by the alliance that we had with France. When they helped us during the Revolutionary War, the one who really helped us was King Louis XVI. And he got overthrown. And then you had kind of a Republican and an empire that grew out of the French nation. And Washington didn't want to be involved in France's entanglements with Britain or with all the other European powers. So they warned us about a lot of what is now taking place, which is what our government is doing right now.
Which, to that point, Washington wisely utilized that situation to alleviate our debt to France. It was like, hey, man, this is a totally new government. We owe the monarchy. We don't owe you guys anything.
Yeah, that led to a war with they called it the quasi war.
Yeah, the quasi war with France, but. I mean, I thought that was great. What would you say that? Statecraft, right?
Ballsy.
Very. You know, it's interesting because you mentioned the federal government, the government saying, okay, we'll provide the wars, these private contractors, military contractors, weapons contractors, saying we'll provide the weapons. And it's the media that will say, we will provide the propaganda. I remember as a kid, this was in the 90s, so I was probably early teens when this came out. My parents had the Time magazine subscription. And I remember vividly, I remember the cover of Time magazine. I remember two specifically. You may remember there was one with Saddam Hussein's face, and it was like a scope on his face, right? So it was a scope target on his face, but there was another one and it had three people. It had Saddam Hussein, Adolf Hitler, and Joseph Stalin, right? And that is massive propaganda, right? So automatically, visually is inserted, the thought is inserted in your head, like this guy is one of the worst dictators, war criminals, however you want to view it, that's ever lived, when you're putting those three side by side. And so the media plays a huge role in going to war, pushing vaccines, elections, mandates.
There's a crisis every few years. There's a crisis.
And it's all about inducing crises, because if you have a crisis, then somebody is going to benefit. It's like people say, well, Winston Churchill said this, or the guy who was one of the main guys in the Obama administration, who I think was like the Chicago mayor for a little while. He said, like, a lot of people have said this or a variation of it, but it's never let a crisis go to waste. Literally. Because with the crisis, you mentioned 9/11, that was definitely not wasted. That changed the entire world, that moment. That changed the way that we saw the world. We got into several wars because of 9/11, or we put the blame on 9/11. We changed the way that we traveled globally. TSA, you know, they are everywhere now, as terrible of a job that they do. And I know people are like, wait a minute, they do a good job. Like, you know, you think about it. Is TSA actually necessary? No, they're not. Like, how many terrorist attacks prior to 9/11 on planes were taking place compared to post 9/11, right? I mean, if we were to like branch that out, we're only like 20 years, a little more than 20 years after. And then you've got all of the flight industry prior to that, all of the commercial industry prior to that. Like, if you make the comparison, here's the thing. If you were to get rid of that security blanket that people feel, oh, I feel safer, but you're really not. You're not any safer than you were prior. You get rid of TSA, people would flip out. People, not everybody, there would be a lot of people would be like, oh, thank God, we don't have to deal with this anymore. But there would be a lot of people who would feel very unsafe because the propaganda has already seeped in, the indoctrination of you need TSA to keep you safe is already seeped in. It's, if we get rid of TSA, oh, the airplanes, it's going to be Wild West. I mean, people with, they're going to have knives, gun, axes, you know, who knows what they'll have. It's a security blanket that people want. Sort of like the mask, right? Like, it's already, like, we know that the mask isn't helping you. Not to the extent that you've been told, Or untold and then retold and untold and retold again. It's a security blanket.
You know, I'm going to say this about, you know, prior to 9/11, there were a lot of hijackings. After that, there really haven't been any. But I don't attribute that to the TSA. What I attribute that to is, first of all, the cockpit doors are reinforced, number one. Number two, if there's a hijacking, a pilot's not going to let them take over. Not after what happened at 9/11. The pilots know, you know what? Okay, you want to kill 5-6 people back there? You want to kill a bunch of people? Fine, but you're not taking over the plane. And the pilots now have, I don't know if pilots now can carry guns, but they've got that reinforced door. So hijackings is not going to be something that's going to be an effective tool nowadays. You know, they'll use different methods, bombs. But you don't need the TSA to check if there's bombs in luggage. In fact, you know, I can say that TSA hasn't been very good at locating weaponry. There have been numerous tests, and whether they're baggage handlers, whether it's the screeners, they haven't done a very good job. So, you know, that remove the TSA, get rid of the power that it has, and you're not going to see hijackings. You might see something else. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It is that security blanket, but it's a very costly security blanket. It's not a very effective security blanket.
Yeah, exactly. You're creating a demand. You're creating an industry, more or less. And that's what the government does. The government will create an industry, and even if that industry is not profitable, not doing a good job, you will still pour money into it. Hey, we could look at the USPS, you know, the Postal Service. We could look at the public education system. You could look at, you know, a number of the federal agencies. You can look at all of these things, and even like the National Forestry System. It's like, you know, these are not profitable organizations. And maybe some of them are necessary. Some of them are not, or they could be scaled down dramatically because they're just not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now, I know we wanted to talk about the media, and I wanted to tie in. It's like the media playing a role in...
Let me mention this part. You talked about crises. You know, I remember back to, I could go far as back as 1970, things that I can remember. And the things that I remember dating back in those days is we had the energy crisis. We were told we had only a few years left of fuel. So with the media and the government worked hand in hand to force us to, you know, like Jimmy Carter came on TV one time and he wanted us to wear sweaters, you know. If it's 30 degrees outside, don't set your heater up to 80 or 75 or anything like that. Put it down. I don't remember what the number was, but he said, but sit at home and wear a sweater. And he did that because we only had 10 years left of gasoline or 10 years left of oil. There was the global, we were going to have global cooling. We're going to have a new ice age. They kept warning us in the 70s. You know, scientists were saying, Leonard Nimoy, he even came on and talked about how we were going. You can look it up. There's a video. I think you can find it on YouTube where Leonard Nimoy came on stating that, you know, we are going to face another ice age. Then the 80s came around. And, you know, in the 80s, we had the Brazilian rainforest. 10 years, we're going to run out of rainforest. Well, you know, that was back in the 80s. There's still Brazilian rainforests. We had acid rain. We had, we had unilateral nuclear disarmament. We have to unilaterally disarm our nuclear weapons, whether the Soviets do it or not. And it wasn't until I think later on, I don't remember exactly when the whole global warming thing came out. I know that was in the 90s, but we had HIV, we had AIDS. Everybody's going to catch AIDS. Everybody's going to catch AIDS. That's what we kept hearing. AIDS is no longer in the gay community. It's everywhere. It's in the hetero community. It's exploding in the hetero community. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I had friends who died of AIDS, but they were all homosexual. Now, does that mean that we let them die? Absolutely not. I mean, these were people that I really cared about. And ironically, how many years now, and we still haven't even found a cure for it? There's drug companies have created cocktails for you to continue to take, and you have to continue taking their drugs. You know, I mean, Magic Johnson, he caught HIV back in 91. But yeah, they haven't come up with a cure. They haven't come up with a cure for cancer. They've come up with drugs. Keep taking drugs so that you can sustain your life. But AIDS was the big thing. We were all going to catch AIDS. Then we had global warming. Then we had turned into climate change. There's always something
you have
that directs public policy, and the media is there to hype it.
Yeah, you had turn of the 20th century or 21st century, you had Y2K, and then you had 9/11, and then you had Iraq, Afghanistan, you had the financial crisis, climate change, with the crisis you have, you know, the Wall Street movement,
Well, what's his name? Al Gore and John Kerry in 2009 said that within 5 years, the Arctic would be ice-free during the summertime. They said that within 5 years. And that was back in 2009.
And the thing is they are, I don't even know if they're believers in what they're talking about.
No, they're multimillionaires. Al Gore had $100 million in his name?
Yeah, it's something like that. It's like 100 million. Like, I would think you and I were talking about that. It's like, I don't know if, like, last time I had heard it, that it was like $200 million. Like, this guy is such a con man, and he is constantly cashing in. Why? Because the propaganda, the media loves it. Like, I was in journalism, I sort of still am, because I write for the Epoch Times, but the first thing that you learn is if it bleeds, it leads. So if it's sensational, that's getting on the front page. That's getting the main story on TV or radio. Like, that is the main thing. It's like, if it bleeds, it leads. So we need to just keep bleeding in order to keep the eyes on whatever it is that we are, like, if it bleeds, it leads. And if it's sensational, people are going to watch it. And if people are going to watch it or read it, that means that you're going to have a lot of viewers or a lot of readers. Therefore, you're going to have a lot of people buying advertisement. Like, that's the whole thing. It's very cyclical. Like, we will create the crisis in order to have money, in order to make money. Like, that's just the way it is. No matter what it is, no matter how false it is, no matter how detrimental it is. You know, just like the whole climate change. I am really surprised that people are still buying in to this whole climate change thing, despite the fact that I think every single prediction that Al Gore made on his, Inconvenient Truth, none of those things have taken place. And that was, when did that movie come out? Like 20 years ago?
That came out right around the time, around 9/11. It was around that time. So like early 2000s. But, right now, you know, another crisis that they're discussing and it's causing issues between Americans is the whole systemic racism. And then you have transgenocide. Now, the whole, you know, the transgenocide thing it's a manufactured crisis that they're saying that we're trying to, you know, that there are some segments of society, like the Christians are trying to kill trans people or the drag queens. You know, the drag queens was never an issue. I have a good friend who's a drag queen who lives in Miami Beach. You know, more power to him. But he performs in front of adults. Nobody cared. If you're a stripper, and I'm talking about a heterosexual female stripper, nobody cared. It's when you do it in front of children, but the media and the politicians have worked together to manufacture a crisis stating that they're going after drag queens, they're going after the trans people. No, you can be trans, you can dress up and call yourself, you know, Matilda or whatever the hell if you're a dude. Just don't push it on kids, and if you're a teacher, don't preach it to your students. Leave your sexual orientation, leave your belief system, even if it's political, even if it's religious. If you're a Christian, you don't push it on your kids. Listen, I understand. Okay, you don't want to, you know, I'm a Christian myself, but if I have a class, I'm not going to sit and push that on my students. I may bring it up or something. I don't know. I'm getting off off the subject here, but what I'm getting at is that they're creating these crises that don't exist. Everything is manufactured. There is no systemic racism in this country. There was back in the early days, but today the laws actually benefit people of color. They go out of their way to help people of color. So,
well, you bring up a very valid point, because we live in an age of victimhood where we all want to be victims for some specific reason, you know, no matter what it is. You've got the systemic racism when you're like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, and people always follow up with this, with the racism talk. It's like, yes, there is still racism, and I agree with that, but that's only because there are still people, and people just, as long as there's people, there's going to be problems, you know, like Biggie said, more money, more problems, like more people, more problems. And maybe that's why that there's the depopulation movement, whatever. But my point is you can say,
I mean, look at the Italians and the Irish, look at the Catholics and the Protestants.
Well, I'm saying, like, they always say there's racism and we've got a long way to go. I'm like, what are you talking about? We've got a long way to go. Yeah. It's always that. The left and the right love that phrase because it's an easy cop out. It's an easy way to say, well, I'm against or I'm for certain things, but we've still got a long way to go. I'm like, no, in domestic racial relationships, no, we do not have a long way to go. We have come a long way. And really, to an extent, we don't have very much further to go. I would say we don't have any further to go. As the downside with that is that we have created unconstitutional laws. One of them would be like the affirmative action. It's like, that is unconstitutional, where you are benefiting people based on their race or gender.
Yeah, regardless of their financial...
Right, regardless of the financial... Regardless of, you know, the educational legacy, maybe their parents and grandparents and all that, like, went to college and stuff. No, it's based strictly on race, gender, all those things. And that comes down to we want to be victims in some way, shape, or form. This comes down to white people. It comes down to Christians. It comes down to any type of group. Whenever you have... The ongoing narrative has been... systemic racism, right? Whenever something happens to white people will immediately be like, oh, well, you see, we also, it's like, don't gravitate to that. Don't utilize a moment of evil or wickedness in order to purport and or be a proponent of your victimhood, which doesn't really exist. You know, there are victims in this country. There are problems in this country. The problem with those problems is we make them way bigger than they need to be. And therefore, we just perpetuate the problem.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. Things are not going to get any better as long as, you know, I've seen on Facebook... Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg has been pushing some of these discussions, and they're trying to confirm, yes, we do have climate change. Yes, we do have systemic racism, and we need to do something about it. And I have no doubt that, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is working with politicians, who's working with the federal government, who's working with different groups. All these groups are being created. You know, we are creating a national suicide where, you know, we're hurting people in the name of social justice. This whole DEI thing, DEI, how much money was it? $83 billion went to BLM. I think that's what the number was. I don't know. Maybe you can correct me on that one.
I know $83 billion went to, what is it, the Al-Qaeda? Not Al-Qaeda, the Taliban. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know that. That's another discussion right there.
That's another crisis.
Was it Joe Rogan even made a comment that, you know, we've got the stuttering senile idiot as a president, and no one will call him out.
That's the thing. Is we, and you were making mention of this with the transgender movement or the transgenocide claim or the systemic racism claim, common sense will tell you, no, this is not the case. This is not the case. But the pushback or the push that is ongoing through the media and purported through social media, where people are just like, yes, this is like you are believing in a false narrative that benefits you either via race, gender, sexual orientation, or politics. And I side typically, it comes down to politics. You think of some of the most idiotic things that people say from just the average citizen to politicians in Congress or in the White House. I mean, how many stupid things are uttered by White House press secretaries? It's daily. And people accept it. People on one side, which is sort of half the population, accept it. Not because it's true, not because it makes sense, not because it's almost a valid point, but because it is politically beneficial, which goes into the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world working with, you know, the federal government and the FBI. And you're like, why? Not because this is constitutionally beneficial, not because it helps the citizens, not because it enshrines truth or helps people understand what's going on. No, this is politically motivated.
It's a partnership.
And it's politically beneficial.
Yeah, it's a partnership. The federal government is, you know, the federal government is tied down with the First Amendment. The First Amendment states that the federal government can't do certain things in terms of free speech. And, you know, they know that. Okay, well, we have a workaround. We've got these social platforms, and we are working with them. Facebook, prior to Elon Musk, he had Twitter. And the whole Twitter files is confirms all this. So you have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. YouTube, that's just to name a few. Now, all of them are working together. And I believe Facebook and Instagram is owned by Meta. So you're blocked by one group. You've blocked by Facebook. You're going to be blocked by Instagram. So they basically control the narrative. They control the method of free speech. Now, Parler opened up as kind of a competition for Facebook, although it was more of, I think it was more of like a competition for Twitter. Well, Amazon? Amazon shut down Parler. They shut it down. Oh, yeah, you can still open it on your app, but you can't get anywhere with it. And so, you know, Amazon was one of the companies that had this huge monopoly. And believe me, Jeff Bezos benefited quite a bit because of the the COVID and all the restrictions that took place. You know, the government was shutting down businesses, small businesses, whether they were businesses like in California. Hell, you know, even in Houston, we had Lena Hidalgo was making sure that certain businesses were not opened. Bars, for instance. Lena Hidalgo is the county commissioner. She's the county judge of Harris County, which is where Houston is located. And she was using methods that were very similar to the Soviets or the Nazis. If you see a bar open, here's a number. Call us, report them, and we'll shut them down. So people with legitimate businesses who are trying to make a living are being shut down with the help of the federal, with the help of any government, whether it's local, state, or federal. Michigan, California, New York had some very harsh protocols in place to make sure that we all complied. So you have methods of doing it. You know, Parler is a great example of where Amazon, which benefited greatly and wanted to keep, the stay home, save lives thing. They shut down Parler. So you have all these companies. Now, you know, I have a friend of mine named Angela Box. Now, she's on the right. And yeah, some people will say, you know, she might be too extreme. Some people might say it's about time somebody says the things that she says. But free speech is protected. What one person might call extreme, another person might call, you know, proper. And so it's not for the federal government, and it's not for any one of us to sit and say, well, you know, your speech is too extreme, so we can't have that. We don't have a place for that type of speech. Now, I'm not labeling Angela as an extremist by any means. That's not what I'm getting at. What I am getting at is that free speech is protected. We don't have free speech because of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. It's just that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights protects that inalienable right to free speech. So when that is taken away from us, when every method of free speech is taken away from us, you can't post anything on a newspaper, you can't post anything online. They cut every method you have to speak out. Then you don't need the First Amendment. You don't need the protection of the First Amendment at that point, because there are other ways to get around it. The First Amendment is no longer protecting us because there are ways to get around it. It's the same with even with the Second Amendment. You know, the government can't sit there and they really cannot take your guns away. But if they buy up all the bullets, and which is what was happening under the Obama administration, they were buying up all the bullets, 40 caliber, 9mm. Well, then, if the public can't purchase bullets, problem solved as far as they're concerned. So, you know, these are the methods. And so when you have companies working, if the federal government has a partnership with these companies, Amazon, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, to shut down your free speech, to them, problem solved.
Yeah, and to the people who, and because the ones who are getting shut down are conservative voices, this is something that the left will say. Well, those are private companies. Those, you know, they are allowed to shut down whoever they want to. And that is not the truth. That is not correct, because there is something called Section 230. Section 230 was made at the end of the 90s, right before the turn of the 21st century. That was written into law. And I can't remember the name of the law, but it's just Google Section 230 and the law itself comes up. I forgot the name of it, but it's not super long, but it's relatively long. But what it's saying is that these social media companies, more or less, like the internet and everything, is in line with how we've always communicated, either like on the phone. Like, so AT&T could not, oh, we don't like what you're saying, so we're going to shut you down for saying what it was like. No, AT&T is not responsible. They are not held responsible for any type of conversation that is going on between people. And it is supposed to be the same way on the social media platforms. They're not held accountable. They're not held liable for whatever type of comments or conversations that are taking place on these platforms. That is no longer the case. And what these companies are doing, and then also what the national government, the FBI, whatever, are doing, are actually breaking the law. They're going against Section 230. And with that, I mean, so you are breaking the law in order to shut down voices, and then you constantly hear people in Congress, people in the executive branch, like the White House press secretary, will constantly, you know, we look to Twitter and Facebook and YouTube to do more to shut out misinformation, disinformation. It's like, no, that's not their job. In fact, they're breaking the law doing that.
The Hunter Biden story, the laptop.
Yeah.
That is an example right there. And the FBI, what is it? You had 51 intelligence, so-called intelligence people stated, this looks like Russian disinformation. It has all the markings of Russian disinformation.
All the earmarks.
They would not allow anything that the New York Post had, or anything that any of us, if we tried to share it, nope, they banned it. They completely banned it. You were not allowed to talk about Hunter's laptop. You simply were not allowed. You had the FBI meeting with Mark Zuckerberg, stating, you know, and they're sitting and they're reading Rudy Giuliani's emails, so they know. They know that Rudy has a copy of what was inside Hunter Biden's laptop. So they knew something was going to come out. So the FBI goes and talks to Mark Zuckerberg and says, there's going to be some stuff coming out. It's Russian disinformation, so don't post it. So you had that. And the Twitter files The Twitter files do agree with that. The Twitter files also show about shutting down Donald Trump. He was president of the United States, and they shut him down. If you, you know, January the 6th, if you look on the January 6th, where he's not telling people to get violent, he's actually trying to calm people down, saying, don't attack the police. Well, that was, I think, the last Twitter, the last tweet from Donald Trump. So Facebook shuts down Donald Trump. Twitter shuts him down. I don't know if he had an Instagram, but they shut him down. And then later on, like I said, I mentioned about the Parler, where they shut down Parler. You had fact checkers. Bullshit. I'm just going to, that's what they are. There's no kind word to say. These fact checkers are a bunch of con artists. They're a bunch of partisan bullshit artists. GoFundMe.
The thing is,
hold on. I want to mention this. The GoFundMe and PayPal. You say something. If your cause is to help somebody that goes against their narrative, GoFundMe won't give you that money. And examples are going to be like what happened in Canada, the guy in Wisconsin, the one who shot those three people that were attacking him. When the whole mob was attacking that one guy in Wisconsin and he had to defend himself, they shut down his GoFundMe account. PayPal will, I believe it's $2,500. I don't know what the number is, but PayPal stated that if you do something that we don't like, you're not going to get the money that's owed to you. That's why I shut down my PayPal account.
Yeah. I mean, you have to get out of that. Like there was the that was leaked, the $2,500, penalty, whatever. I was like, are you insane? Like that, but they were like, oh no, we walked that back. And I know people will say, oh, that wasn't like enough with calling everything a conspiracy theory. It's like Russell Brand, you know, he said this joke the other day, like, what's the difference between the truth and a conspiracy theory? About 6 months.
Six, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, precisely. So quit calling things a conspiracy theory, because all you do is just try to push off when you know what is going on is happening. You know it's the truth. And going back to what I was saying about like the Section 230, like you're not liable, right? Well, BuzzFeed released something 5-6 years ago called the Trump dossier. It was the whole, you know, Russian, you know, this guy, it's a hit piece that was purchased by the Hillary Clinton campaign. It was a hit piece that they wanted something on Trump. Well, this guy, Christopher Steele, puts together the Trump dossier, and all the intelligence agencies go through it and they're like, no, this is not legitimate. Even Obama was like, no, he told Trump and like, this isn't legitimate. BuzzFeed still decided to release that in its entirety on its website. And CNN, Washington Post, New York Times, everybody came out and said this was completely irresponsible of BuzzFeed to do. But regardless, it was, you know, it was BuzzFeed's prerogative to do that. And it was their prerogative to post it on Twitter and Facebook or wherever they wanted to. And none of that got shut down. None of that got, you know, said nothing. Nothing happened. And that's the thing, is you got to let people decide what is going on. Because when you end up suppressing so much information, and specifically one side, you start getting people really riled up. You get people believing things that are not true because they aren't privy, or they are not even getting to see anything that is true because those things are getting shut down. So you have, like, take for instance, the origins of COVID-19. Now we've got this, well, the lab leak theory is actually a good theory. In fact, it might be true. Joshua Phillip, friend of ours, guy over at the Epoch Times, broke this story in 2020. Towards the end of 2020, he didn't say this is where the leak, or this is where the COVID-19 virus came from. He didn't say that. He pointed towards all of the things that surrounded that Wuhan lab. And is like, this is a substantial theory that it could have leaked from the Wuhan lab. Well, what did YouTube do? What did Facebook do? They shut all of that down. And like, this isn't true. Fact checkers piled in. And people, because it agreed with their political alignment, agreed with those fact checkers. Like, oh, this has already been fact checked. By who? Snopes? Does anybody even believe anything that Snopes puts out?
Are they still around?
They are. I don't even know how that is. Yeah, like even possible. It's like, it wasn't like this guy and like a prostitute that were working together and like put it together. Anyways, enough of that.
Prostitute?
My point.
I thought it was a husband and wife that ended up getting divorced or something.
Right, because he was sleeping around with some prostitute that ended up working, something along those lines.
Yeah, probably made a lot of money because of Snopes. I mean, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is you have it to where all of these groups are working together to silence one particular side of the political aisle. And it's like, this is not a long-term solution. This is a long-term disaster because you are purposely, private industry, you are purposely working hand in glove with the government. And that is going to come back and shoot you in the foot, if not hang you, because this is going to affect everybody. This will strip rights and freedoms away from everybody because you are under the impression, or you are, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You are doing this and you are freely relinquishing people's rights to speak out and to know the truth, or just to know information, figure stuff out on their own.
And to make a living. I mean, Fauci helped direct the, you need to stay home. It was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And then it lasted longer. And, you know, Fauci was behind all this. Fauci was suppressed the origins of COVID. Fauci was the one who he was the one that was directing the national policy on the response to COVID. His wife was the one who was supposed to police the NIH. His wife was the person there who's supposed to police the NIH to make sure that they do the right things. So, you know, Fauci made quite a lot of money. Right now, things are coming out. You know, the safety of the vaccines, hydroxychloroquine. You know, that's been on the market for quite some time. I mean, quinine was known as a method of preventing malaria during World War II. And, hydroxychloroquine, I guess you would call it a derivative of quinine. I don't know if that's the right, if I'm using the right terminology here, but hydroxychloroquine and, when Joe Rogan took it, they said it's a horse wormer. Or dewormer, or whatever it was, and you know, Joe Rogan. You know, I've had COVID twice, and for me, I'm not vaccinated. Of course, the CDC, which is an arm of the government, directed all these companies to state your employees have to be vaccinated. Now, my company, the company I work for, wanted to know, am I vaccinated or not? So I had three choices: either I tell them yes, I tell them no, or I can refuse to answer. And if I refuse to answer, then they're going to look at that as no, I am not vaccinated. But I've never had a company ever ask me my vaccine status, whether it's for the flu or anything else. So Fauci was behind so much of this. And the fact that all these other methods of protecting yourself was being looked at as like a horse dewormer. Now, I personally took a lot of vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and I had extremely mild symptoms. I did not Again, I was not vaccinated, but I had extremely mild symptoms for about a day or two, and that's it. But it, you know, when Joe Rogan, of all people, and Joe Rogan's no conservative, but when he came on and he said, look, this is what I took, and you had CNN, you had all these reporters
MSNBC.
who are pushing the narrative, stating, "Oh, that's a horse dewormer." You know, again, this is what we're trying to get at. Where you have the federal government, you have these companies, these pharmaceutical companies, you have the media, all working hand in hand to push public policy, which not only affects our daily lives but affected so many businesses. I mean, how many businesses have gone under because of these public policies?
Well, you think about it. Like we mentioned the recession slightly. How many businesses went out of business because of that? How many banks closed because of that? And then you have this. During this time, you had the greatest transfer of wealth in human history. And you mentioned Amazon. Amazon made so much money. Those types of companies that would, oh, we'll come to your door. No contact. You can order whatever you want. We won't contact you. And it's just like, one, that's not good for people. People need to be in contact with each other. There was a time early on. If people are not noticing the process of being lied to, then you're not blind. You're willfully blind. You had... like going back and forth, stay inside, right? Stay inside. Don't even go outside. And then when people are like, but what about like going outside and like getting vitamin D? Won't that help? And they're like, well, okay, you can go outside. You can walk your dog, but only by yourself. Like this type of stuff that was going on. Like this is only going to be for 2 weeks. I remember when that came out. It's only going to be for 2 weeks. I told my neighbor, I was getting out of my car, and my neighbor was walking. I go, hey, welcome to Cuba. Welcome to communist Cuba. And she was like, oh, it's not that bad. It's just for 2 weeks. And I go, you really think it's going to be 2 weeks? And she's like, yeah. I go, I can guarantee you it's not for 2 weeks. I said, you don't shut down the entire world and say, oh, it's only going to be for 2 weeks. This is a massive undertaking. And you can look at it however you want to in a conspiracy theory manner. I don't care about that. It just made zero sense to say just an arbitrary number of 2 weeks. We're only going to do this for 2 weeks. And anybody who fell for that, I don't know how you fall for it. You're going to go from 2 weeks. Okay, just two more weeks. Okay, two more. Like how many times did we run into two more weeks? And then it just got to like, you know what, F it. We're not going to say two more weeks. We're not going to say a month. We're going to say flatten the curve. We got to flatten the curve. And so, all right, well, we've flattened the curve. Actually, the curve is now going down. And like, well, no, not until we get nobody. No one will have COVID. We will have zero COVID. Until we hit zero COVID, we got to keep these lockdowns going. And like, are you kidding me? And then, well, once we get the vaccine, then things will go back to normal. Like, okay, vaccine comes out. Like, all right, the vaccine, it's safe. It's effective, you know? Like, okay, everybody get in line. Go get the vaccine. They get the vaccine. Like, all right, you're not going to get COVID. And then people all of a sudden started getting COVID. And like, okay, well, you won't be able, if you get COVID, it won't be
that bad. They're saying that it won't affect you that much. It won't kill you.
Yeah, and then it got to that point. It was like, okay, you need to get one dose. Okay, you've only gotten one dose. Well, there's another dose coming out, and you need to get a second dose. Oh, you got three doses? You actually need to get the booster, too. Oh, like three boosters? Okay, great. It's like, okay, so now you're not going to get COVID. Okay, you're going to get COVID and you'll probably transmit it as well, which we didn't think was going to take place. But you're not going to get sick. You won't be hospitalized. And then people are getting hospitalized and like, okay, well, you won't die. And then people are dying not just from COVID, but from the vaccines themselves and getting sick.
Oh, wait. No, you're getting sick because of the people who are not vaccinated. So the unvaccinated, it's on them. They are the reason why you're sick. They are the reason why you're dying.
It became the pandemic of the unvaccinated.
You know, but you're like going, but wait a minute, but I'm vaccinated. How could I be catching it if someone else is unvaccinated and I'm vaccinated? I shouldn't catch it, right? Well, no, you still, you know, and I remember when I first caught COVID, I had to wait 3 months before I was eligible to get the vaccine. But my doctor was saying, yeah, you should go get the vaccine. And I'm like, well why? I've already had it. Well, you should still get it anyway. But why? I mean, since when have you ever gotten a vaccine after you've already had the disease? Well, you should still, this is what my doctor was saying, you should still get it anyway. Well, but this doesn't make sense. You know, I mean, yes, I know inoculations have worked with other types of vaccines, but you know, and I've had the shingles vaccine. I don't get the flu vaccine anymore, but I got the shingles vaccine. I get a tetanus shot, but you know, like the shingles vaccine has the dead virus in it. You know, George Washington inoculated. Well, that was his policy. I don't know how many he got done, but I know that he inoculated his soldiers, like let's say at Valley Forge, because you know, smallpox was a threat that could have wiped out the entire Continental Army. Well, again, those are using dead or dying viruses. This virus was a little bit different. This is called the mRNA virus, and it was very different from previous vaccines. So, and you know, and another thing that I want to bring up is the gain of function. I don't understand why the whole gain of function isn't a bigger story. You know, Dr. Rand Paul has discovered, I don't, you know, he's in the government. He knows how to find all that stuff, but he's come up with documents showing there was gain of function. That we did, Fauci, when it became illegal, Fauci sent everything to China, and we funded China's gain of function research on the COVID vaccine. I mean, I'm sorry, on the COVID virus. If we can 100% confirm that this virus came out of a lab that we helped fund, I personally can't say that anyone is going to do anything to Fauci. Fauci's still not going to get in trouble. The only way is, you know, the media is going to defend him. Well, okay, so what? You know, they were trying to do it for our benefit. You know, they know that eventually something like this is going to hit us. So, you know, we need to give him a break. Pfizer has been tweaking with the COVID virus. They, Project Veritas, interviewed this guy that is in the know, and he was stating, yeah, we are tweaking the virus. We know that the virus is going to, what's that mutate? So if we can mutate it and we've got the vaccine for it, then, you know, in his opinion, either it's because we're going to make more money, or because we will already be there and we'll have a vaccine for that mutated virus. Well, they're playing God, and no one is calling them on it. Rather than go, you know, there's one political party that's just defending them, and rather than go after the people that are mutating the virus or going after the people who are doing the gain of function research, the Democrat Party is actually going after the people who are exposing the story. And the whole Matt Taibbi thing is a perfect example, where it's not what Matt Taibbi and Elon Musk have exposed in terms of what the federal government is doing wrong and illegal. It's the fact that, are you really a journalist? Where did you get this information from? If we find the smoking gun that states, yes, Fauci did authorize gain of function illegally and sent it to China, I can't say for certain anything is going to happen, because you're going to have people in the federal government who are just going to defend him. And most of them have the letter D behind their name. Some are, but most of them have the letter D.
I 100% agree with that. That they will circle the wagons and they will protect their own interests, whether that interest is simply saving face for the political party. It is, and it can be as plain as the nose on your face. It could be a memo where Dr. Fauci says, "I approve of your gain of function research." I mean, it could be something as plain as that. And I'd be like, people, not just in Congress, not just the politicians, but people along party lines will either defend or just ignore. That is the situation that we are in. Because, and I was putting this down, like, this whole situation that we've run into over the past few years with the COVID stuff, it runs like this. The federal and state government demand certain things, and they're hand in hand with corporations, right? Pharma. So take, for instance, your doctor, and this sort of made me think about this, like, your doctor cannot tell you why you, who are relatively young, healthy, have already had the virus, cannot tell you why you should get the vaccine, except for the fact that you should just get it. You need to get it. There's no reason to get it. You just need to get it. Federal government is hand in glove. Obviously, this is during the Trump administration. He brings in all these corporations. We're like, all right, we're going to do these particular things. And one of them is we're going to create a vaccine. Pharmaceutical companies create the vaccine. Well, those vaccines have to be utilized. And in order to do that, doctors have to administrate them. So the AMA, the American Medical Association, comes in and makes sure, demands that these doctors, or you will lose your license, you are going to be administering these medicines, these vaccines. The doctors, therefore, to their patients say, you got to take the vaccine. It's going to save you. It's going to blah, blah, blah. I don't really care what I have to say because I don't want to lose my license. I don't want to lose my practice. So therefore, I'm going to lie to my patients. So the patients are like, oh, yep, well, my doctor said I need to take it. That's the authority that I'm going to believe in. Therefore, I'm going to propagate what I am being told. So then you have patients or people in general, along with media, all echoing the same exact thing. And then they take it to social media. Media companies and individuals push through social media and it pushes out to everybody else. And like, well, all these people can't be wrong. The pharmaceutical companies, I mean, like, take, and then you go back up the ladder. Like, well, why would my doctor lie? Well, they've got something to lose. Why would the AMA lie? Well, they've also got something to lose, or at least something to gain. Why would the pharmaceutical companies lie? Well, because they've got a lot to gain. Why would the federal and state government lie? Well, they're hand in glove with these pharmaceutical companies. Like, they are putting all this investment into these private companies. They've got a lot to lose too. Understand the circle, the vicious cycle that is taking place in this country. It is almost in every aspect. And if this pandemic has not opened up your eyes to what's going on, I don't think that your eyes will ever be open. And like I said, I don't think it's blindness. I think it is willful blindness. This goes against my party politics. So I can't step into your realm. And we mentioned a number of times, think of the people that are pushing back, like big names that are pushing back on all this stuff that's going on. Bill Maher, not a conservative. Elon Musk, not a conservative. Matt Taibbi, not a conservative. Barry Weiss, not a conservative.
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand. Like, all these guys, Bill Burr, like, all of these people are not conservatives, and yet they're moving into the conservative camp. Nobody that I know, big name, that I've heard that is on the right in the conservative is moving into the left. Nobody. Everybody is moving to the right because they're like, this is absolutely insane. Like, oh, you're anti-transgender. No, we're not. What we're saying is leave the freaking kids alone. Quit having these drag queen story hours in the libraries, and shame on the parents that take them to those things. You're a freaking, you're an effed up individual if you're taking your kid to go see this. I'm sorry. And there are a lot of effed up individuals in this country, and that's part of the problem. But going back to what I was saying with the whole systemic racism, it's not here in this country. Sorry. It's not. Is there racism? Sure. Is there hatred? Sure. Is there sexism? Is there violence? Yes. Why? Because there are people on earth. All right. So that's just the course of human nature. You're always, we can't get better as individuals if we have nothing to fight against. If we have nothing to push back against and say, that's wrong and that's right. What becomes very detrimental to society is when you create problems.
Yeah, it's human nature. I mean, you know, you look at what happened in Ireland, Northern Ireland. Whites, Christians, but it was because one tribe was Catholic and the other tribe was Protestant. You're gonna, you know, in New York, Italians and the Irish and the Puerto Ricans, they did not get along, but, you know, they're all white. So it's human nature, and you can't legislate that. You have to, if you have children, you have to teach your kids right and wrong, and you have to teach your kids, who cares what color a person is or what religion a person is? It doesn't mean you have to embrace their religion or you have to embrace, you know, their sexual orientation. It just means follow your own path, but don't discriminate and don't hate the other person simply because their religion or their orientation or their nationality or their color is wrong. You know, I made a point one time, you know, my car is black. All right, what's the difference between my black car and a white car and a red car and a green car and a gray car? Nothing. They just look different. But I love the way my car performs. So
there you go.
You know, you have a black dog. Is your dog any more or less behaved than, you know, any other spotted dog or any other colored dog? No.
Well, it's all about training. I trained my dog. I got some dogs over here, like I was saying. You know, I think they've all been shot and killed by now.
There you go.
I haven't seen them for a while.
It's like the culture. Yeah, cultures. I can sit here and say that one culture is going to be better than another. Okay, I don't care if people are going to say that's a supremacist attitude. Sorry, but there are some cultures that are better than others. And
yes,
you know, when you have,
it's obvious,
when you have a culture that murders one tribe over another, like what happened in Rwanda, and it's happening in other nations throughout Africa, the Congo. It happens in the Middle East. If you're a Shiite and a Sunni, you know, they've been at war with each other, you know, since what, the 800s, the 700s, 900s, whenever it was. So it's human nature. And you know, that all that does is that shows how human nature is. It's not to legislate certain things. That's just not going to work.
Well, to your point, and to finish up, this whole idea of, like you were talking about, you know, the kids and everything, telling kids, like the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Like, that's the role of parents. Parents are supposed to train their child in the way that they should think. And I'm not talking about indoctrinating or whatever, but at the same time, it's like, that's the parents' prerogative, is to indoctrinate them according to their values and beliefs. Like, my parents are Christian, so I was indoctrinated according to the Bible. As I grew older, I studied on my own to see that which was true and that what wasn't true, right? And there are things that I grew up, even in my Christian circles, that I was like, okay, I don't agree with how we're interpreting that, that, and that. So it comes down to, are we training children to understand right and wrong? The problem that we're having right now is we have, a lot of parents who are like, well, I think the child should just make decisions on their own. It's like, look, you're not going to let your kid figure out how to cross the street on their own. You're not that stupid. And the only reason you're not allowing your kids to figure out how to cross the street on their own, if you're a terrible parent, is because media has not been telling you, oh, you need to let your child figure out how to cross the street on their own. That's the only way that they're going to develop. I can guarantee you people would start doing that if the media started chirping that one. So you're saying that a child should figure out their own gender and that there are multiple genders, that and this is my final thought, that idea tells the child that there is no such thing as truth. There is no such thing as the obvious absolute truth of a male or a female. You're a boy because A, B, and C. You're a girl because A, B, and C. And that's it. And you institute massive confusion into that child's life to where they grow up with the understanding that there is no truth. And everything that I think I perceive to be true, it's a toss up.
You know what I like to tell them is if you really believe in that, go get a rooster and see if that rooster thinks it's a hen and see how many eggs you can produce. Or go milk a bull. go milk a bull. Let's see how far that goes.
I would prefer those types of people go milk a bull.
So, but yeah, if you're going to go into business and you want to sell eggs, yeah, go find a transgender rooster. See how well that goes. Or is it a transgender hen? I don't know. I don't even know anymore. But
people who believe in evolution, whatever. This is not evolution. This is devolution. Like, we are devolving. Like, we are going backwards. We're going into like insanity. Like, this is not progress. This is digression. And it's plain as the nose on your face. Hopefully people will come out of it. I mean, obviously we're seeing more and more people coming out of it. But ultimately it comes down to, you know, who's in power, who's making the laws. Don't get so caught up in your political party that you ignore all of the insanity that they're purporting.
Yeah, if you are born with a penis, don't try to milk your children, your babies. Don't press them up against your breast and see if they're gonna, because that ain't gonna work. And you know, it's a female mosquito that sucks the blood out of people. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
No, thanks, man. Appreciate it. And the media continues to promote those insane ideas. Like, quit publishing it. Well, people are writing it. Like, well, don't publish it. Let them publish on their blog. Anyways. All right, dude.
Yeah, remember, 2 + 2 = 5.
1984. That's where we are. That's where we are. Fiction has become reality. All right, dude. That's all I got. You got anything else?
No, they're vacuuming next door, so
I can't hear them. So I think we're in the clear. And nobody, we better clear it now because nobody has been mowing the lawn.
Yeah,
this morning.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, aren't they gonna mow the lawn? Well, they don't do that till about 4 o'clock anyway. So usually about three or four o'clock is when they start mowing in your location.
No, that's only the other day. So usually we're past the time.
They've been doing it quite often.
No, you don't know. You don't live here. All right, I'll see you later, man.
I hear you complaining about it all the time.
I wish you the very best.
Thanks.
Whatever it is that you're doing, you're such an idiot for not saying what you're doing right now. But whatever, I digress.
Okay, good.
I'll chat with you later.
All right. So, catch you next time.
Okay.
Hey, how do you like, what do you think? Does this look bad?